There was probably another way out, bound to be. Moist didn't even look up when he heard the creaking of wood overhead, but ran forward and went down the steps five at a time. By the sound of it, a large amount of the entire building smashed onto the floor just behind him, and sparks roared down the cellar passage, burning his neck. Well, there was no going back, at least. But cellars, now, they had trap doors and coal chutes and things, didn't they? And they were cool and safe and just the place where you'd go to lick your wounds after being smashed in the mouth with a sack full of pins, right? But imagination is a terrible thing to bring along. A vampire, she'd said, and Stanley had hit a big bird with a sack full of pins. Stanley the Vampire Slayer, with a bag of pins. You wouldn't believe it, unless you'd seen him in what one of Mr. Grote called his little moments. You probably couldn't kill a vampire with pins. And after a thought like that is when you realise that however hard you try to look behind you, there's a behind you, where you aren't looking. Moist flung his back to the cold stone wall and slithered along it until he ran out of wall and acquired a doorframe. The faint blue glow of the sorting engine was just visible. As Moist peered into the machine's room, Tiddles was visible too. He was crouched under the engine. "That's a very cat thing you're doing there, Tiddles," said Moist, staring at the shadows. "Come to Uncle Moist, please." He sighed and hung the suit on an old letter rack and crouched down. How are you supposed to pick up a cat? He'd never done it. Cats never figured in Grandfather's Lipfigzer kennels except as an impromptu snack. As his hand drew near Tiddles, the cat flattened its ears and hissed. "Do you want to cook down here?" said Moist. "No claws, please." The cat began to growl, and Moist realised that it wasn't looking directly at him. "Good, Tiddles," he said, feeling the terror begin to rise. It was one of the prime rules of exploring in a hostile environment. Do not bother about the cat. And suddenly, the environment was a lot more hostile. Another important rule was, don't turn round slowly to look. It's there all right. Not the cat. Damn the cat, it's something else. He stood upright and took a two-handed grip on the wooden stake. It's right behind me. Yes, he thought. Bloody well, bloody right, bloody behind me. Of course it is. How could things be otherwise? The feeling of fear was almost the same as the feeling he got when, say, a mark was examining a glass diamond. Time slowed a little, every sense was heightened, and there was a taste of copper in his mouth. Don't turn round slowly, turn round fast. He spun, screamed, and thrust. The stake met resistance, which yielded only slightly. The long, pale face grinned at him in the blue light. It showed rows of pointy teeth. "Missed both my hearts," said Mr. Grile, spitting blood. Moist jumped back as a thin, clawed hand sliced through the air, but kept the stake in front of him, jabbing with it, holding the thing off. Banshee, he thought. Oh, hell. Only when he moved did Grile's leathery black cape swing aside briefly to show the skeletal figure beneath. It helped if you knew that the black leather was wing. It helped if you thought of banshees as the only humanoid race that had evolved the ability to fly in some lush jungle somewhere where they'd hunted flying squirrels. It didn't help much if you knew why the story had grown up, that hearing the scream of the banshee meant you were going to die. It meant that the banshee was tracking you. No good looking behind you, it was overhead. There weren't many of the feral ones, even in Überwald, but Moist knew the advice passed on by people who'd survived them. Keep away from the mouth, those teeth are vicious. Don't attack the chest, the flight muscles there are like armour. They're not strong, but they've got sinews like steel cables, and the long reach of those arm bones will mean it can slap your silly head right off. Tiddles yowled and backed further under the sorting engine. Grile slashed at Moist again and came after him as he backed away. But their necks snap easily if you can get inside their reach, and they have to shut their eyes when they scream. Grile came forward, head bobbing as he strutted. There was nowhere else for Moist to go, so he tossed aside the wood and held up his hands. "All right, I give in," he said. "Just make it quick, okay." The figure kept looking at the golden suit. They had a magpie's eye for glitter. "I'm going somewhere afterwards," said Moist helpfully. Grile hesitated. He was hurt, disorientated, and had eaten pigeons that were effluent on wings. He wanted to get out of here and up into the cool sky. Everything was too complicated here. There were too many targets, too many smells. For a banshee,